C1AP. Number 3B.
So when we have seen that this source from which the revelation comes is the Word, and that that Word has an impact, that it has a Christ impact on the whole world, then he goes a step further and shows that these days of creation which Jesus had exemplified are actually an eternal law and not so much a becoming sense, a process sense, but an eternal law. And he says it like this. And the Lord says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. We have to watch that rendering. So he shows he's the beginning and an ending. It's not eternal at this point. It's beginning and an ending. It's therefore the sense of the 7 days of creation that somehow appear in a time process and working out of things, like the 1,000-year periods. And then he goes on and says, and I was in the spirit of the Lord's day. Suddenly, he has no more 7 days. Now he has only one day, the Lord's day. And now things begin to change. Now he begins to realize that that's what was called a becoming process is actually an eternal law that is on the Lord's day. You know, that day is interpreted in the glossary as the irradiance of life, the spiritual idea of truth and love, showing everything is at the point of life, truth and love, right at the point of being. And the great voice was saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. Can you see the difference now? I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. It's both the first and the last. It's not only first, that is the beginning, and then brings it to an ending. It's both the beginning and the ending. Therefore, it's an eternal state of things. It's the Lord's day. And so he brings it right back again to an eternal state of consciousness. Just the way that John Dolly has seen that. It has taken him a few decades to see it, because for a long time he was showing always the days of creation. I remember from Peggy's Brook biography on John Dolly that he shows that the very first sense John Dolly had way back in 1900, and I'm not quite sure, 14 or 15 it was, I think it was 14, that he began to see the 7 days of creation. And he stood with he stuck to the 7 days of creation for about 20 years, or even more than that. He always saw a process in it, and the process of the commandment, the beatitude, the Lord's Prayer, and so on, until finally he could see, round about the middle of the 30th, that B.C.Z. says, these, the numerals of infinity, called 7 days. So the 7 days are not really reality. They are a process in the human. They are called only 7 days. But actually, they are numerals of infinity. Well, numerals of infinity have neither beginning nor end. The numerals of infinity there, you can start wherever you want. They are eternal. So it's like with, it's like with arithmetic. When we are small and we begin to learn something about arithmetic, we say, well, I can count up to four. You know, one, two, three, four. I can't count. Well, what comes up? I don't know. Then little by little we say, I can count up to 7, I can count up to. And that goes on for quite a while, that one has a sense, there is a 1, and after that 1, only one thing can come, namely the 2. And after the two, only one thing can come, namely the three. So you have a sense of the days of creation, a developing sequence. But as one grows and grows, that disappears, and those numbers become numerals of infinity. Then we feel five is a five, after five must not come six. I can take a 5 plus a 6, yes, that I can take, or a 5 plus a 17. A 5 is no more just that which is between the 4 and the 6. I can take out any number and treat it as a fact that stands by itself, that does not come into being by first starting with 1, 2, 3, 4. And so, also here, Mrs. Eddy said, actually these 7 days of creation are depicted and called days of creation, but they are actually not. The reality of it is that they are numerals of infinity, that they are facts, that they are identities of being. And therefore, from that point on, Mr. Dawley could show something which you find very natural, but wasn't natural to us at all. It first shook us when he began to teach us that they said, therefore, you can take any idea of any synonymous term, and you can blend it with any idea of any synonymous term. You can calculate. You cannot calculate with a sequence. If you have a sequence from 1 to 10, you cannot calculate. The only thing we can do is to go from the 1 to the 2 to the 3 to the 4. You cannot calculate. Huh? Only when one begins to realize that they are not a sequence, but that they are in an order, which is eternal, then you can say, now I can take the 5 and calculate with the 5, for instance. I can make addition, subtraction, multiplication, division with any other number I want. And you begin to calculate. That's the numerals of infinity. So he began to say, you can take any old idea of the seven synonymous term, like substance, and take that from the synonymous term as idea, substance, and now you can blend that idea with any other ideas. You can see that that substance is, when blended with mind, they is that substance is an idea, because idea is mind, is an idea. If you calculate it with soul, you can see that substance, which is idea, when calculated with soul, is unchangeable, can never be changed, because our soul is unchangeable. You can take and calculate it with an idea of principle and see that substance, which is an idea and which is unchangeable, has demonstrative power. It demonstrates itself. It has power within itself, the power of principle. You can calculate it with life and see that substance is eternal, because eternality is an idea of life. You can see that substance, which is idea, when calculated with truth, for instance, has dominion, the dominion of truth. Or if you calculate with an idea of love, then you can say that substance is actually a substance which is already at the point of absolute fulfillment. You don't have to add anything to it, because love is perfection of fulfillment. Can you see? That is what he saw at this moment when he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, but now I'm the first and the last. I'm the center and circumference of being. From now on, you can calculate. Up to this point, you couldn't calculate. You could only go along the sequence of the law of creativity, which is a very beautiful law, which is a very terrific law, because every time we should be creative, we can go along that law. But that is not the end of all. We must see that is only one aspect of the Alpha and Omega, one aspect of the numerals of infinity. And he goes on, even further on, and said, and I turned, when he had heard that he is for being the first and the last? And he said, gosh, that's something new. How is that? Why is that first, suddenly the first and the last, no more the beginning, that evolves and evolves to be finally seen to be the end? He turned, and I saw 7 golden candlesticks. He suddenly saw the 7 synonymous terms, that the 7 days of creation are only one aspect, one variation of something much more fundamental, something much more eternal, namely the 7 synonymous terms. So the 7 golden candlesticks. And then he showed something wonderful. We go on here, we come to the next one, the demonstration of the Son of Man through the numerals of infinity. And you can follow what I say now on the study material. So suddenly it says, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks was one, only one, like the Son of Man. So now in the midst of the candlesticks is no more Jesus Christ, as he was depicted before, through the 7 qualities of the 7 days of creation. Now, what we see, if we turn to the 7 synonymous term, to the 7 candlesticks, we begin to realize that in those 7 candlesticks reflect each other as an infinite calculation of ideas, and that applies to everything. It's no more a time process, it's an internal law, and so in the midst of it, you can see the Son of Man, that is, the Son of Man, as one like the Son of Man. It's generic term man, the man as a generic term, as it's only one man, there are not many generic men, there's only one man, namely generic term man, and you can see that he began to realize at that very point that therefore everyone can go to the 7 golden candlestick and say, what is man? And get an answer to the question, what is man? And he walks around those, you know. He doesn't just stick to one candlestick and say, I don't let you go anymore. He walks around. He goes from mind to spirit to soul to principle, life, truth, and love. He has a jolly good trip there, where according to where he is, he just can draw from any one of those 7 synonymous terms. So at that point, really, the Revelator depicts generic man through the 7 synonymous terms and says, what is man? So now we don't get the description of Jesus, but of man. At the point of mind, it says that he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. Now we know mind, feet, and clothes, everything with ideas. So it depicts man and says, man is idea. He's really clothed with idea. He's clothed with the ideas, his intelligence, his an idea of mind. At the point of spirit, he says, his head and hairs were white as snow. White as snow is purity. Always when they want to bring out something very, very pure, they would call it white. If they want to bring it out very, very pure, then they put another white to it, like snow. If it's not dirty, the snow, as back in our home, it's dirty. Well, the ideal is white. No. So it gives the sense that he is clothed with the robe of spirit, with the white robe of spirit. He's clothed with hair like snow. So it gives the sense of the purity of spirit, the onlyness of spirit, so that man is only spiritual, only purity of spirit belongs to him. Then he goes on and depicts man through soul and says his feet were like brass burned in a furnace. Now this rendering comes often and often in Revelation, burned in a furnace, always burned, burned in a furnace. Well, in a furnace you can treat the metal so that it is purified of everything that does not belong to that metal, so that the identity of that metal is being brought out. Everything is washed away from it, and so you can have something brought out in its true identity without any foreign concomitants with it. And it gives you a sense of that unchanging identity, also pure, free from any counterfeit. And the voice has a sound of many waters. Voice was very often the symbol either for truth, but then the voice of truth was usually a voice that was destroying something, like with the trumpets, that the voice of the trumpets were uncovering, destroying error. Whereas when it is shown as soul, then the voice is as the sound of many waters, namely then the voice is that which identifies something. Through our voice we can give identity to that what we think. We can define it, and so it has a sense again of identity, of defining, and it comes to principle, and there you see at once the symbol. In his right hand had seven stars. When we talk about principle, it's always the power of principle, the power of demonstration. That was always symbolized through the right arm. Because in the right arm, most people have the real strength. So it was always called the right hand or the right arm. And he had in his right hand, they couldn't say in the right arm because the arm couldn't carry seven stars, so they had to use the right hand. So in his right hand had seven stars. The moment you see principle that really gathers together all ideas, that it's the principle of all ideas, of the seven stars, which are really here now the numerals of infinity. So he had the power of demonstration, or man has the power of demonstration, and the power of system, gathering together into one principle all the ideas, come to life. And he said, I'm the first and the last. Can you see again the tone of life? Eternality, timelessness, life itself existent, eternal. I'm the first and the last. And truth, I am he that liveth and was dead, I am alive forevermore. Now we could say, well, he who liveth and was dead is certainly a wonderful description of life, because life has to do with living, and the counterfeit of it is death. Now, here also we must have the spiritual sense of it. You know, Mr. said he takes that very sentence and says, I'm alive, I'm dead. No, how does she say that? She said he takes that and says, well, that means I'm he that liveth, who understandeth science, and therefore I'm alive forevermore. So she couples it and say, life is only that when you understand life, and that's truth. So science has explained me, Mrs. Eddy says, truth is always therefore of the nature of science. And finally, love, you get that very clear, and have the keys of hell and of death. I have the key of hell and of death. See that wonderful sense of love, perfection, that has the key of for every error. That says, I'm all, and the error is nothing. Evil is nothing. So salvation is the key. Yes. So that is the description of the Son of Man through those seven numerals of infinity, where we could see that the moment he turned and he began to see that everything has to do with the seven candlestick, with the seven synonymous term, then we say, oh God, then what is man? And we say, man is the idea of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. What does that mean if it is the first and the last? What does it mean if it is center and circumference of all being? Then man apparently is the idea of all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And so if we consider that, we can sit back and say, all right, then what am I? What is my true I am-ness? What is my generic manhood? What is generically always man? And we say generically, all the ideas of the seven is man. So I begin to see that instead of thinking about man, I can think about the generic sense and say, man is what? He has the idea of mind. He's at the point of power, of action, of law, of intelligence, of guiding, of leading. He's at the point of infinite knowledge. And so you build up a sense that man is the idea of that one mind. Or as the idea of spirit, we begin to realize that therefore man is spirit, is spiritual substance. He's not material substance. Is spiritual substance. Therefore, it's always at the point of spiritual substance, which has always unfoldment, always development, which always unfolds, therefore always brings forth fruit, therefore gives eternally birth to its own fruit, and there's therefore all the blessing of the supply of spirit, of the richness of spirit, and I begin to get the great sense of the substance of man. Or you go to soul, and you begin to see as an idea of soul, man is always satisfied. He's always at the point of bliss and happiness and joy and satisfaction. He's always at the point of being absolutely balanced. He's at the point where he's completely untouched by error. Nothing can touch it. He's absolutely unchangeable in its spiritual identity. Nothing can destroy it. There is no sense that he can ever retrograde to any other state. Or you take man as the idea of principle, and you begin to see at the point of principle that man is what? He's the person. Man is the expression of the ideas of principle. Therefore, the expression of scientific thought, of scientific investigation, of scientific research, is an expression really of the system of all ideas. Well, he is system, therefore he reflects the purity of system, the harmony of system, and that system has its impact on his bodily system, on his financial system, on his relational system, on every other system, so therefore he is infinitely related to all other ideas. And in this way one begins to feel that he is an idea of life. Therefore, what constitutes the generic term man is that man is that which has eternal life, which has infinite individuality, infinite spontaneity, infinite impact on everything. He is a terrific impulsion for the whole world, so that the whole force of life and well of life is constantly flowing in all its fullness, and I see that man is a well of life that only brings forth the fullness of life, the newness of life, not the routine of life, but the ever newness of new ideas. Or as a point of truth, I can see and that man is really only of the nature of consciousness, that it has nothing to do with his body, or nor with his brain, nor with his family, nor with any status in society. It's only consciousness. It's a state of divine consciousness. And that state of divine consciousness is constantly conscious about its whole structure, consciously conscious of what he is. He knows what he is, and therefore is aware of his wholeness, of his health. And so I begin to see that that man, as the idea of love, is always at the point where he is embodies all the ideas of love. Therefore, he's always within a terrific big plan of love, always geared to a great aim, always geared to a telefinalistic brain of Omega, to the fulfillment, to the perfection of being. And within that plan, he is always an idea that is in every detail perfect. And I have a sense of infinite perfection, that everything belongs to him, that nothing is missing in that plan. Therefore, man is that which is fulfilled within itself. He doesn't have a sense of being unfulfilled. He has no sense of frustration, but only a sense that he is led into that infinite stream of life to the point of dominion in truth, where he fulfills the plan of love, the plan of the infinite love that God has set out. So I begin to see that I can walk within the candlestick of the seven, and build up for me a great sense that man is God's son. And these, he says, then, are the seven candlesticks. These are the seven churches to whom he's going to write it. He's not going to write to churches that are actually in Ephesus and Philadelphia and so on. He's going to write to a state of consciousness that is depicted through the seven synonymous terms. He says the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Can you see? The seven synonymous terms are the seven churches, and the seven stars that the Son of Man had in his hand are the angels to the seven churches, are the ideas that constitute those seven synonymous terms. So he opens up that whole vision. Now what we have seen in up to now, and here comes then a break, is that the Revelator says, my source is God, and that God is Alpha and Omega. But that God is a sevenfold spirit. And that sevenfold spirit are actually the seven candlesticks, the seven synonymous terms. They express themselves first in our 7 days of creation, and Jesus could fulfill in his life those 7 days of creation. But factually in eternity, those seven spirits are Alpha and Omega. They are the first and the last. They are numerals of infinity. And if I begin to see that those seven synonymous terms are constantly expressing themselves through the numerals of infinity, I see man. Because man is the compound idea of those seven candlesticks. And so I find man as the compound idea, as the Son of Man, expressing the seven numerals of the seven synonymous terms. And with that, he leaves the world, and then next time when we meet, he is going to show the Christ and the Christ order.